7:33 on Monday, July 21st, 2014. I'm calling to order the council meeting of the Borough of Edgewood. Ms. Bastianini, will you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Here.
Dr. Wallace. Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson. Dr. Petrola.
Here.
Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the solicitor is in attendance, and should we need the mayor, he would be around. Let us all stand to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. No longer sit down.
Sorry about that.
At this time, we'll entertain items from the floor. There being none, does anyone on council, having looked at the minutes for June 16th in their packet, have any corrections? Mr. Wainwright?
June 16th, 2014.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Anybody have any corrections for the minutes of July 7th?
I move to approve the minutes of July 7th, 2014.
Questions or comments? Ms. Bastianini, call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to authorize payments for bills for goods and services. Mr. Wainwright.
Authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee. The general fund in the amount of $30,143.82 and from the sewer fund in the amount of $0 for a total of $30,143.82. Second.
Any questions or comments, Mr. Wainwright?
It's a pretty low month, I think. The biggest expense was the $10,000 quarterly gift to the library. Other than that, I don't think.
We're all caught up.
We are.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from Mr. Wainwright? Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Let the record reflect that the mayor is now in attendance. Committee reports, general government, Mr. Wainwright.
I guess the newsletter is approved about the little print. Is there anything else?
We're looking into the possibility of moving payroll in-house.
That's right.
Beginning in January. We pay for the payroll system anyway with our Freedom accounting software, and Janet has experience doing payroll. Save us about $5,000 a year. We're looking into the possibility of that currently.
And with that would come the possibility of acquiring direct deposit, so the general government would have to sign paychecks every Tuesday.
Right. Which a majority of our employees do anyway.
This
does. The tax remittance.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
correct. Yeah, she used the same accounting software we did for 30 years, doing payroll, the quarterly remittance, payroll deductions from employees for different things she has experience doing. And we can do all of that online at this point. She also has experience generating W-2s at the end of the year.
The only thing that, question or basically comment that I have is just wanting to make sure that we have policies in place, written and approved, regarding the checks and balances, so that there are no errors in bookkeeping. And because our staff is so small, just want to make sure that there are no issues regarding that.
Right. We discussed having the general government committee get an emailed report on payroll weeks to approve so that they could look at the payroll prior to it being processed and sign off on it. So that, which is not something we do currently, but we're looking into those policies.
Okay. Just want to make sure we have everything done according to Boyle. Any other thing? Anything else? Any other questions? Okay. Public safety, Mr. Fuller.
Public safety met with the fire department, discussed several things, one of which was the memorandum of for the award program, and also brought up several other items, washer and dryer, there's the door at the bottom of the steps. Maintenance issues with fire trucks, which are going to be here next year because the engine needs to be overhauled.
Yeah, Mr. Reynolds, do you want to come forward and have a dialogue with us as Mr. Fuller?
If I remember correctly, the engine needs to be overhauled next year on the new
fire truck. That's correct. So we're approaching a point of the age of the engine. Bought it in 2000, it's now 2014. It is a workhorse. We love this piece of equipment. We would recommend a refurbishment of the engine in the next fiscal year. We're currently working on a menu of different choices for refurbing, which would include the body and the paint. It wouldn't be a full repaint, but just fixing up those areas that are rusted and to help keep the body maintained and perhaps an undercoating. Rebuilding of the engine and rebuilding of the pump. And we'll have those, we are working on those estimates right now to have for you to impute to next year's budget.
Most of the meeting dealt with the live-in program and the MOU that they put together, the questions that have been about the
other than the memorandum and some of the items contained within that. Julie gave me the green light today for the washer dryer. I think we're going to have a little back and forth regarding how much of the water and electricity the fire department will pay on that. But other than that, the items in the MOU is basically when we can start, you know, the relationship.
We talked, I spoke with Julie about the MOU obviously council will want to review the MOU. But I appreciate the negotiations that Justin and the fire department are having, the open dialogue, and we look forward to, you know, reviewing that and our continued work with the volunteer fire department.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
It was nice seeing you, young ladies. Come back again to see your local government at work. I hope you get ice cream or yogurt out of this, Dad. Just saying. Not my kids. I can say that. There's probably another thing going on with public safety as I look down at the end of our agenda. We can just talk about it. That on the agenda is a
hire a part-time policeman. The other thing the chief told us is that orals for the candidates are August 11th. August 11th are the orals for the other candidates.
Or full-time hiring, yes, August 11th.
So that's moving ahead also.
Okay. With council's permission, can we suspend, amend the agenda, and take care of the motion so that these folks can watch the Pirates beat the Dodgers? Mr. Fuller?
I move to hire Glenn Kopp as a part-time police officer pending the passage of a drug screen, physical, and psychological examination. His pay rate and benefits will be per the police contract.
Second.
Questions or comments? Chief, you want to talk about this candidate?
Yes. When we first started looking at the hiring process for part-timers, we decided collectively to do three part-timers to fill the positions that were vacated by Marcus, because he put so much time in. We looked at the three. Two out of the three we hired, the third party was not able to meet our necessary requirements for work itself. So we went to the third candidate, the fourth candidate we had on the list, which was Mr. Glenn Kopp. I've known Glenn for quite some time. He's been in law enforcement for 20 years. 20 years. He's currently employed full-time with the Children's Hospital Police Department, but he has quite an extensive background with the various police departments. I believe he worked at Dennis Clinic with the Louisville folks up there, and he comes highly recommended to us as far as law enforcement background. I think he'd be quite a, probably an addition to our group.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, do you have anything that you'd like to share?
No, I think the chief has said in everything. If this is also the police report, then I'll have other things then.
Thank you, Mr. Obvious. Anything else? Ms. Bassiani, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. And now, Mayor Cook, would you like to do the honors of swearing in Dr. Officer Kopp, please? Tradition that we all shake hands.
Thank you.
I think that you'll find that the chief is excellent, supportive of our officers. The council is as well, and that we take great pride in the men. Police department, and the community really does embrace our officers for the work that they do and support them. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you on Fridays. Looks like a quiet evening this evening.
Gracie's up here.
Other than the people around this table, no, I think we're fine.
I can't speak for Brent.
But thank you for last meeting. All right. You're done with your report. So then we'll go to the police report. Mayor Cook, I'm sorry I jumped over you.
Not a problem. There are several items that I'm going to have the chief report on, and one of the ones that when we were talking about what all we would be going over this evening, he and I both failed to mention that Officer Fred Livingston is in dire need of some help. I'll let the chief explain.
Is participating in Camp Cadet, which is a quite rigorous week of a lot of activity. So he texted me this morning, it was yesterday morning, and said, I ran a mile already, it was only 5:20 in the morning, and you're killing me. He's representing us well, and I think it's a real plus for the community and our department for him to be there. There's only a handful of officers that are handled to do that. And it's a great program for youngsters who may have a vision of wanting to become a law enforcement officer somewhere down the line. They're very selective on the youngsters that they choose. They're very much selective on the officers that they expose these youngsters to. So Fred is representing us well. But he's going on vacation. As soon as he's done it, he's going to need it. So you want me to continue?
If you would, please.
Real quick, we have been looking at a couple of things. In the past, we've had officers in our history, two who were killed in the line of duty and one who was wounded in the line of duty. There's a movement afoot by members of the Memorial to get at least the former chief of police, John Nye, on the rolls down in Washington, D.C. He was killed in the line of duty in 1935 while chasing a truck and he crashed a motorcycle and died of a broken neck. We also have a lieutenant back in 1957 that died as a result of a heart attack while he was trying to make an arrest. During an armed robbery in which he encountered a suspect. And then in 1973, we had an officer who was shot in the jaw while a robbery was taking place. I believe it was the open pantry, and he received a wound in the jaw. So we're working on all of these with the National Memorial people, trying to get him, these folks, at least two of these folks, on those rolls to recognize their service. And of course, service duty and possibly somewhere down the line where we could talk about the possibility of a plaque here at the Pearl Building, recognizing at least these three officers that gave so much for it. Secondly, we are involved with the East Hill DUI Task Force. There will be three full-blown DUI checkpoints, one in Forest Hills, one in and one in Monrovia. Our officers would take part in that. What occurs is we would normally dedicate two officers to the checkpoint. All the boroughs and municipalities that are involved are required to dedicate at least two officers, and the host agency would dedicate somewhere around 7 to 10 officers of their department that would run the operation. As part of this, and we're part of Plum, Monroeville, White Oak, North Versailles, Wilkins, Oakland, Pink Hills, Forest Hills, and Edgewood, there is a requirement for a cooperative agreement. And for us to sign a cooperative agreement, I certainly would like to give that to Mr. Berry and have him take a look at that and tell us what you're taking and get back to us as far as the possibility of signing that and becoming an active member.
What is the time of this?
The first checkpoint is August the 1st. I just got that. I was on vacation, so I just got that last week.
Do you want me to look at this right now?
No, we'll take a look. Yeah.
Well, what are we going to do?
That would be up to you.
Well, if we're going to do it by August 1st, then we need to go to the time. Is that right?
Yes.
It wouldn't need to be done.
I'll look at it right now. Before I start looking at it, wait a second, I'm looking at this. It's single spaced. You mentioned the communities that are involved. As you were talking,
about what this is about so we can understand what it is.
I started the East Hills view, I guess, first of all, to become a police chief. And as such, we looked at the various communities that we suspected would take one to take 20 of us. We spoke to chiefs of police from so many different communities. Initially, it started off with Monroe, Long, St. Wilkins, from Late Oak, and I think that was it. We started off with four. And then others began to see what we were doing and decided that they wanted to join that particular task force. There are several different task force agencies throughout the county. There's one in the North Hills, there's one in South Hills, we have one out here in the East Hills. Reasons obviously being because of the locations of the various departments, we would join the East Hills task force. Forest Hills was the last agency to join the task force. What the task force does is they work under the DUI Association and they get the grant money annually to put on both the DUI full-blown checkpoints and DUI patrols. DUI patrols are afforded to all communities, usually around holidays, where we're putting extra patrols out paid for by the DUI task force, specifically out there to look for potential for DUI drivers. And each year, so many of those communities will receive a full-blown checkpoint. In this particular case, this year there will only be three communities because the money's obviously, I think when I first started it, I was up around $90,000. I think they're down to about 45 or 50, something like that. So where in the past, all the communities got checkpoints, in today's world, because of the monies, we're only doing three full-blown checkpoints. So eventually, we will become one of those communities to have the full-blown checkpoints. Somewhere down the line. That's pretty much what we're asking. It serves a lot of different purposes. Obviously, it serves the purpose of trying to impact the problems with DUI drivers. It also exposes our officers to have an opportunity to work with a lot of these other police agencies and we become part of these other groups and intermingle with other officers. And, that's always it's always had a payoff somewhere down the line because they get to know each other and they get to work in things of that nature. I think it's a worthwhile effort. As I said, I started it way back 10, 12 years ago and it's continued on the way to the present. To where we have taken on Penn Hills, which we were a little concerned about because of the volume of the traffic that they had up there. And they've been very successful, quite honestly, in the last 10, 12 years.
I have a, I might have just zoned out a minute. What's the cost to us?
Nothing.
There's no overtime or anything, do we need to be concerned about the police contract that something like this is not in the police contract?
No, it's all done through voluntary sign-ups, and it's all done with seniority in mind. So, no.
So there is overtime, but it's just...
We don't care about
who pays the overtime.
The UN, the grant. Everything that is being paid for comes from the DUI Association.
So we pay it and we're reimbursed.
Yeah, we're reimbursed, just like all of the other special details.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, you know, somewhere there's a process for making sure that, you know, and I want to make sure that we're aware of how that will be and if there's any impact on the budget that we, you know, as general government goes through and we go through the bills. The other part of that is that anytime any of these things happen, it's always good just to ask about the police contract and what's in there so that we are compliant with the contract and that our officers know that you know, we bargain these things in good faith and also want to protect them by not adding something that they, you know.
I think we've already had taken part in the DUI
patrols. The patrols.
Right. And that's being reimbursed.
Yes.
Not any issues.
Yes.
And I'll say the issue with the police agreement on this, as long as you follow the normal assignment procedure that you're going to do, it's obviously no issue.
Okay. So would this be a motion?
Well, let me just tell you this.
this very quickly. It looks like it's okay. It makes reference to a couple laws that I would like to review because otherwise I'm just telling you to do something without really knowing what I'm telling you. So I would first of all, secondly, well, it makes reference, it makes reference to a police mutual aid agreement law, which I have read, and which I have not read recently, and I would like to look at. This is not an intergovernmental cooperation agreement in a sense that connects us, because that type of an agreement must be done by ordinance. And this obviously is not being done by ordinance. But I would like to look at what this this law says, and if I determine that I see any issues with it, I'll let Julie know or send out an email, and we'll go from there. I would not advise, nor is the chief requesting, that you participate in an event on August 1st without this agreement being in place, because it is intended, among other things, to provide reciprocal indemnification. For the, in other words, it's to protect everybody not only from possible liability, but also from with respect to arrest powers and everything else. So this is an important agreement, and I would like more time to look at it.
We pass a resolution contingent upon your
what I was going to say, and you don't have a resolution. So the best I can say to you is pass a motion to approve the proper borough officials to sign this agreement, subject to review by the borough solicitor.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I think that's reasonable.
I'll take a closer look at this, and if I find that it's okay, and I'll tell you right now, and I don't want to assume, but if I think this agreement is okay, and it says that it was supposed to be done by resolution or ordinance instead of a motion, I'm not sure that that's, you tell me whether or not you want that to stop the presses, because I can guarantee you that the other municipalities that are passing this agreement are just doing it by motion, because no one seems to follow the Intergovernmental Cooperation Act as far as passing ordinances for this type of activity. That's just the custom. So I'm just telling you that. So what I'm really looking at, what I really want to look at is the references in here to indemnification and other provisions. That's all I need to say.
Okay, so to recap, what we can do while you're reviewing the document, if council so wishes, is to pass a motion that... pending the solicitor's review, or contingent upon the solicitor's review, that we would enter into this cooperation agreement, DUI cooperation agreement, or whatever, we'll write it out. But it would be contingent upon, you know, your review, and you know, we can sign then. You know, I can sign, and. The other part of that would be is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if we pass a motion and we can sign the agreement, if a resolution is called for, can we not pass a resolution at the next council meeting?
That'll be fine.
Affirming
I'm looking at form over substance.
Right. Right. Substance. So if we are required to do a resolution, then we can do that. Saying, as per the motion made, blah, blah, upon review, whereas, blah, 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 and then just pass it.
That'll be fine. Okay. And it's, I think you understand, Chuck. There's one more thing here that I'm just going to point out to you, which I think is a flaw with the agreement itself. And you have to try to get separate municipalities to sign the same thing. You really don't want to change things unless you have to, because that becomes problematic in and of itself. Says, and further, that public liability insurance for both bodily injury and property damage liability covering police vehicles, while on duty in the territorial limits of any of the participating municipalities shall be obtained by the individual signatory municipalities. Does that mean, first of all, it doesn't say what that insurance is. Second of all, does that mean that we're going to obtain insurance for activities in Forest Hills?
Well, if our,
I don't really think so.
But if our cars were assisting something in Forest Hills and our cars got whacked, our insurance company would still cover that. I mean, our cars are insured and our police officers are insured. So if we're affirming this, we have insurance. We would not need to have a special rider because this is, you know, because they're in, you know, Plum or East Bejesus, I wouldn't think.
Well, I don't think so either.
All right.
But, I think it's just poorly worded.
Well, yeah.
But I think, and I'll review this and I'll follow up with Julie. I think Julie should at least send this to our insurance broker and say, we're doing this. Do you see any issues with this?
Yeah. Okay.
And, I've never seen an insurance contract that had a geographical limit on it.
Right.
And I've never seen one. I don't think they have that.
I think they just want to make sure that they're, you know, people aren't going out there and being cowboys without having all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
In the years that I ran that, I never had any issues with any of the We could just take car six.
That's for you.
So, Mr. Berry, would you kindly, as we go through this, draft a motion for Mr. Fuller to... is there anything else, Mayor Cook?
No, I would just like to add, though, to this that Officer LaBelle will be at one of the DUI checkpoints, if I'm not mistaken, and he has been at our DUI. So the training that he gets here, he will bring back to the borough. For some of the others, this may be their first DUI, and it gives them on-the-spot training as well. And I find it a win-win. And crime obviously does not stop at borders. I would love to see that Swissvale, Rankin, Wilkinsburg would eventually sign on to this if at all possible. But in the meantime, you know, we did have chases come from other East End municipalities that ended up on our side of borderlines when they get off the parkway. So the cooperation that this builds when our officers know by name and face another officer from another municipality is truly a win-win. I've witnessed it several times in the brief time that I've been mayor, and I have an utmost respect for their way of cooperating with each other. So I think this is something very positive.
Anything else, sir, of the police report? Any questions for the mayor? All right, community development, that would be the mayor. Oh, no, it would be community development. I'm sorry. Mr. Bright, anything with community development?
There have been no meetings. Nothing been happening.
Okay. Thank you. Public Works, Dr. Petrola. Community Service, Dr. Petrola.
So for Edgewood Day, we're... That's my understanding. They said they'll do it basically as a donation. Everything will be a donation.
Okay. And with your permission, Dr. Petrola, can we have Ms. Bastianini contact Dees and just make sure that all
she's in all the loops of all the
emails. That everything's, you know, just make an outside query just to make sure that we have everything covered. And also be in touch with our solicitor regarding any... Yes. Potential liabilities and kind of develop a little process for all concerned. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Thank you. Personnel, Mr. Fuller.
Personnel did not meet.
We do have a resolution later on. Okay. Pension, Mr. Bright.
Pension did not meet.
All right. Three Rivers, the board's going to be meeting. Some discussion with folks regarding the trunk transfer of trunk lines, and Ms. Bustianini will also be able to talk about that. So I'm going to let her talk about that.
Right now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, as Pat mentioned at the last meeting, Three Rivers Wet Weather is developing a pilot program to transfer multi-municipal trunk sewer lines. They are doing this by watershed, and they currently are working on Gertie's Run watershed and Pine Creek watershed, which are both in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. My conversation with John Chombert, he seemed to think that Nine Mile Run would be a good third watershed to do this pilot program on, mostly because they have not done one yet that will have Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority as a party. So he is looking for us to be the third or fourth, in case something comes up, pilot program, and has suggested that either with Swissvale and Wilkinsburg or just on our own council write a letter saying that they would be interested in such a program.
Is there any documentation regarding the pilot program that we would be able to review? Or
yes.
Have Mr. Schaumburg or someone
Yeah, absolutely. There is currently nothing that is pilot program specific, but there have been guidelines for transferring the trunk lines that we can get to council to review prior to committing to anything.
Yeah, and I think, I approached Mr. Schaumburg because the pilot, as I understood it, were only being done currently in the north. We are only in one watershed. We're in Nine Mile. And we're small, and we've had issues in trying to work cooperatively, particularly with the city of Pittsburgh. And so I felt that that this may be something that council would be interested in once we get the information and can thoroughly review it or have a presentation. So I was, primed that pump, and if this is something that council would like to have more information, we can ask Mr. Schaumburg to either supply something or to come here and just talk about what the pilot project would entail, so that if it was something that council may want to do, that we could write that letter. I would not write a letter until everyone had the information that you needed. That. So would council like to have someone come and talk about it?
I have no idea what the word this is even is, so yes.
That would be fine. All right.
As long as it's not like some extensive presentation.
No, it's not. It's not. No, you don't. So you don't go to your happy place. I know. Which I no. No, it would be a short one and down the line. So this fall, in September, maybe we could have when everybody's back from vacations and whatever. But we could have Mr. Schaumburg come or someone from Three Rivers to talk about the pilot program. And in the meantime, I think you all have received a copy of the Connect report regarding the transfer of trunk lines. Maybe not, but we can get that to you. We can kind of read what we're talking about and as members of Connect, the advantages to have that done. So, borough solicitor, anything else in Connect?
No, Connect is not meeting again until the fall.
Okay. Solicitor's report, Mr. Berry.
I did
President. On further review, I don't like the way this agreement is worded on a couple of different issues, and I think the language in here about indemnification is very poorly worded. I think the language in here on insurance is very poorly worded. I think it basically accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish, but it's just very poorly worded in my mind. Chief, where did you get this agreement from? Who drafted this agreement?
That came from Lieutenant Conley, who runs the DUI task force on Palm, and he sent that to all the communities to have the community folks to sign it. So where he got that, I don't know.
What I was wondering, is this some sort of form agreement that was actually given to you by the DUI agency that is responsible for the grant?
It could have came directly from the DUI Association.
I'm trying not to slow this process down, but I really don't like the way this agreement is worded. And so I'm going to tell you right now, I'll pass on this thing. And there's nothing else to review. It's just, it's just plain. It says that each municipality shall save harmless other municipalities to this agreement from all claims by third-party suits, damages, and losses, blah, 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 from any injury or person or damage to its property which may arise out of the rendering of police services under this agreement. That really doesn't say what it's supposed to say. What it should say is that Edgewood will indemnify and hold harmless the other municipalities from any claims arising out of something one of our officers did. And then Plum will do the same and blah, blah, blah. Does that generally say that? Maybe. That's not what it says. So I guess what I'm saying is, you can go ahead and approve this because of the time involved with this. Other, as far as I'm concerned, this agreement needs some work. So I'm leaving it up to you. You can, if you want to pass this, because it generally does what it's supposed to do, even though it's poorly worded. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not going to say that I approve. I will approve this generally if you want to approve it tonight. I think it generally accomplishes what it's supposed to accomplish. I don't think it's a good agreement. That's my opinion.
What's the ramification if we participate in the first DUI checkpoint without having the agreement signed?
I would definitely not do that because, first of all, the answer is you must have some intergovernmental cooperation effect in order to hours, so that's, and also to take advantage of the provisions in the law for, there are provisions, and the reason why I'm approving this generally is there's provisions in the law that generally cover the indemnification, so I'll just rely upon that, but if I were going to do this right, I'd say, work on this agreement, but if you want to just move forward, that's fine with me.
Chief, when's the next one?
I'm sorry.
Do you know when the second one is?
I think the latter part of August, and then that's the one I believe is in Locals. And that's the whole bank sticks in my mind, and then the third one is in September.
We may want to think about, and I'm just throwing this out, we may want to think about what rewording. Since there are sections that are poorly worded, if there is rewording that we could do and send back to folks and then participate in the latter DUI checkpoints.
Remembering my issues when I was part of this, when you have that number of municipalities involved, have that number of solicitors involved also in the municipalities. And it's very difficult to get those numbers of people to agree on wording amongst the group of lawyers.
And I acknowledge that. I don't want to make this complicated. I don't want to go through that process. I'm just telling you that this agreement does not meet my standards in terms of how it's legally worded. I think it covers
covers generally what it's supposed to cover. That is, it makes reference to the state mutual aid agreement. It authorizes arrest powers within the municipality where our police officers would be working. So it accomplishes those basic things. And that's fine with me because it generally covers what it's supposed to cover. Should I just tell you it's okay to go ahead and sign it, or should I tell you what I think? I just told you what I think.
What's like the worst? Can we sign it and like, what's the issue that could the come
issue
out
is,
of it?
Which has happened in the past, so it's not hypothetical or theoretical. We had some kind of involvement with a situation down in Rankin where we provided mutual aid. There was a lawsuit. We had nothing to do with the lawsuit. I shouldn't say that. One of our officers was involved. So we ended up having a lawsuit with somebody, a suspect who was being arrested for selling drugs in Rankin. We got involved in a lawsuit in federal court. So this does happen. Okay, so that's really the context of what my concerns are. That, so it says everybody has insurance. If that happens, then we'll all be down in federal court together, and we have our insurance carrier, and the other municipalities have their right insurance carrier, and we deal with it accordingly. So probably nothing's going to change. I just don't like the way this is working.
And the mutual aid itself, I think, has changed as far as we're looking at the state level, if I'm not mistaken, with how it used to be. Similar issues 12 years ago with the number of municipalities that we had involved back then, which was only 4 or 5. And I don't know, and I would suspect that came directly from the DUI Association. I don't think Palm or any of the other communities put that together. I think that is something that's a standard agreement that comes from the DUI Association.
And I would suspect that's the case also. That's why I ask.
Anything else in your report, Mr. Simpson? We will be having executive session.
Yes, Madam President. I did mention it to you, I'm sorry. I want to have a brief executive session to discuss litigation matter and legal matter. Should be short.
Okay. I would like to discuss potential litigation, and there may or may not be action followed. Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam President. Our last movie night was rained out last week, but the next one will be next Monday, July 28th, at dusk. Dusk is as soon as it's dark enough to play the movie. And we will be trying again to play Despicable Me 2. We got some good response from that, so we'll try again. The Planning Commission is meeting tomorrow to review the first draft of the new borough zoning ordinance, and Jim Pashuk will attend council meetings August 4th meeting to update council after that. The LED streetlight replacement program is underway. If you saw in the open invoices, we paid for those replacements, and we should be getting 12 LED streetlights along Edgewood Avenue by next week. Let's see. I believe most of you are aware that the COG is working with the Twin Rivers COG and the Steel Valley COG on a tri-COG land bank, which is a method to deal with blight. They recently unveiled their business plan for this tri-county COG that they're trying to form, and they're reaching out to member municipalities in order to explain the program further, and that way council can ask any questions. Council would need to vote. We would have a motion to join the land bank. We're not automatically in it because our COG is involved. So if council would be interested, I'll have Amanda Settlemeyer come to one of our meetings in August to discuss the land bank with you further. I think a land bank works best when it has diverse
properties in it, so I think that it would be good for the land bank if Edgewood was a part of it. That way we could put some of our problem properties in a land bank if we had to. I'm a little concerned about the costs currently associated with it to the borough. They're asking municipalities who join the land banks to do three things. The first is to clear back taxes, which I don't think we would have a problem with. That's a way to do it to get it back on the tax roll. They are also asking for 50% of the taxes for the first 5 years that property is back on the tax rolls. And they also want 5% annually of municipalities' delinquent real estate tax collection. And we try very hard to pursue our delinquent real estate tax. As you know, we pay Tucker Arnsberg to go after delinquent property owners for us. We would have to seriously consider whether we would be putting enough property in the land bank to make it worth losing some of that revenue.
Well, here's a question. Do we have any problem properties?
We do, yes.
And how many?
We have several that are tax delinquent or vacant. We have a few vacant, some that could. We have properties that go to sheriff sale. We have one coming up, so this is amended. Land banks get first dibs on a sheriff sale, so that way they can really prioritize who purchases that home. They must have an end user. They also maintain the properties while they're vacant, before they're purchased by somebody, which would be good. We do have our public works department cut grass at a few different properties in town, and a land bank would take care of those maintenance costs. So I think there are pros and cons to look at, but I think a diverse population certainly helps the land bank. Let's see what else. The final restoration work on the 2000. They have just unveiled their business plan for the Tri-Cog land bank. They are hoping to be up and running May 2015. So the state passed legislation allowing land banks in, I believe, 2012. So they're relatively new. I'm sure you all saw on the news the city of Pittsburgh recently approved a land bank. So they have a business plan that has been published. I'm still trying to get a digital copy so that I can get it to you guys. They don't seem to have one yet. But so they're in the process of developing. The COG will start the land bank, so their staff will be the ones who get it started, and then, yes, it will be a separate entity from the COGs once it's up and running. As I said, they have the ability to acquire property and then search for end users for the property.
And I will admit my ignorance about this area. I need to know more about it.
Right.
And it was authorized by law, but I'm not familiar with this.
It's a relatively new technique for dealing with blight and abandoned properties, and it's been used elsewhere. It's just recent to Pennsylvania. I can tell you that our member municipalities in the COG are really excited about it. I think a lot of people think
that. Sounds like it has.
Absolutely. Same opportunity for land, yes. But now, a lot of time land banks also will say a municipality has enforcement out against a property, they're very tax delinquent. A land bank can just go to an owner and say, hey, you want us to take it off your hands, essentially. The land bank will take it over. The municipality, school district, and county will wipe out the back taxes, and then they'll try to rehab the property and get it back on the tax rolls.
So it's a way to avoid going to sheriff's sale, is what you're saying? I'm sorry, I'm not going to ask any more questions.
Okay.
I need to study this because, you know, I really don't know enough about it.
Well,
I think it's information that all of council should have, and the other thing that we need to also think about is maintenance costs to us, and also, you know, we may not have a lot of properties, but we're not a big borough.
Right.
There are two houses on Gordon Street alone. So when other people's houses go on sale, you know, and the house beside them or on the same street of theirs is an abandoned house or condemned house, that impacts their property value, and that impacts our tax revenue. So I think that it's something that, you know, that we really do need to think about and get more information. But abandoned and blighted properties affect everyone, and even though our numbers are small, I think it may be, and I don't know, and Ms. Bastianini can check that, you know, how much time is spent with our DPW people and how exactly, let council know exactly how many properties we have.
We have two. Two.
And, you know, how many we've had that there's been a turnover. And you know what impact she thinks that this may have is a trend, and I think economics being what they are, it's a trend that's not going to go away. But it's something that I think we should look at and make decisions then accordingly.
Just that restoration work for the sewer project is still underway and hopefully will be done this week. And Andrew Miller, who is the Regent Square Civic Association contact, emailed me today that he could not be here, but would like you all to know that a parkway ramp litter cleanup is scheduled for this Saturday at 9 a.m. That's all I have.
Any new business?
I'd like to make a motion to authorize the proper borough officials to execute the attached Municipal Police Cooperation Agreement.
Second.
Questions or comments? All right, Ms. Bustin, can you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
No. Motion passes. Next, Mr. Resolution to 2014-17, Mr. Fuller.
Grove Edgewood, Resolution 2014-17 revised. Whereas in 2011, Borough Manager Warren Ciccone expressed his desire to retire from his position in several years and recommended to the Borough Council that the Borough hire an assistant Borough Manager to train with him and ultimately replace him. And whereas Mr. Ciccone has submitted his letter of retirement to the Borough, and whereas Julie Bastianini received a Master's degree in Public Administration from the University of Pittsburgh in April 2011, was appointed to the position of Assistant Borough Manager on September 19, 2011, by Borough Council Resolution 2011-15, and she has exhibited the qualifications, education, and ability to serve as Borough Manager. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Julie Bastianini is hereby appointed to the position of Borough Manager, pursuant to the terms of the attached Memorandum of Employment, and her employment as Assistant Borough Manager is terminated effective on July 1st, 2014. Resolve this the 21st day of July by the Council of the Borough Manager.
Second.
All right. Any explanation for this?
Yes, we needed to revise this motion. The part that's revised is the statement that says, and her employment as Assistant Borough Manager is terminated. As I think everybody knows, I left the non-uniform pension plan whenever I became the borough manager. I had previously been in that pension plan as the assistant manager and paid my contributions into it for about 3 years. Whenever somebody leaves that plan, we allow them to take their contributions with them. But the way that our ordinances were written, it said that you could collect your contributions upon termination of employment or death. So I decided not to die. And we just were revising this so that my previous employment terminated, and that way I could collect my contributions.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bassini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and resolution 2014-17, which has been revised. Is there any other new business before we go into executive session?
Got one
more motion. Oh, I'm sorry. We have one more motion, Mr. Fuller.
I move to hire Christopher Cateau as a part-time emergency service worker pending the passage of a drug screen and physical examination. Pay will be $10.61 per hour.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Who is a certified firefighter 1 and 2. He's also a certified firefighter instructor, so he has a lot of experience training young fire members. We have one of our emergency service workers right now might be pursuing a full-time position and be leaving our department, or at least dramatically reducing his hours. So we wanted to hire Mr. Coutu so that we have a full staff on the emergency service worker desk. He's trained with the fire department, and they've given him Mr. Bray?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Any other new business that we brought before council before we go into executive session? All right, then it is 8:35, and we'll be going into executive session.